Paul could write, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake." This was something he had learned. And you know, in one sense, we might say God is just. Paul had made many to suffer when he was still Saul of Tarsus. And he learned to suffer for the Lord's sake, too. He lets us know that what he had gotten from the Lord. And, you know, we see this in a number of instances, but I'm sure that there's much more that he got from the Lord. And some of these things, after some years, he checked out with the other apostles, and he was right on track. They had to agree with that which he had. And they recognized that God had given him a ministry that was in some respects different from theirs, but it was for God's glory. I think of what he writes to the Thessalonians. Remember at Philippi, he and Silas were put into prison. They were beaten before that. Their backs were doubtless bloody, and they were fastened in the stocks, you know, when you're uncomfortable and then fastened in place where you can't properly move. It just adds to the discomfort. And he says in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, "For ye know yourselves, brethren, our entering in which we had to you, that it has not been in vain, but having suffered before and been insulted, even as ye know, in Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the glad tidings of God with much earnest striving." And he points out, "Our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but even as we have been approved of God to have the glad tidings entrusted to us, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proves our hearts. For we have not at any time been among you with flattering discourse, even as ye know, nor with a pretext for covetousness. God is witness, nor seeking glory from men, neither from you nor from others, when we might have been a charge as Christ's apostles." And he goes on how they had acted among the Thessalonians in the approximately 3 weeks that they were there. And it always amazes me how the Lord used him. During the 3 weeks that he was in Thessalonica, it mentions 3 Sabbath days he was there, so from a little more than 2 to not quite 4, he was there. And I don't believe all the Thessalonians were saved the first day he got there. He spent time teaching. Some were doubtless saved the last day before he had to leave. He suffered much. I've often read the catalog of his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11 that's been before us. You know, one could wish that we knew a little bit more about it. Once he was stoned to death, well, that was in Lystra. We know, Acts 14. But he was beaten with rods on a number of occasions. You know, when we look at these punishments that he received, he mentions, "From the Jews, 5 times I've received 40 stripes, save one." That was the maximum punishment that the Jews practiced. God had said, if a person has to be beaten with stripes, you don't go over 40, lest he becomes despicable in your eyes. Beat him to a pulp. And the Pharisees, in their traditions, they were not going to go over 40, so they stopped with 39. You know, if somebody is beating someone else, It's very easy to get so occupied with beating that it doesn't stop in time. But yet, they had changed the maximum punishment that God gave from 40 stripes to 39. And this is how man works. But Paul says, 5 times I've received that. Where? In what cities? Under what circumstances, we might ask? 3 times I have been scourged. That was a Roman punishment. 1 time I've been stoned. 3 times I've suffered shipwreck. And to that we can add the shipwreck in Acts 27. Because that he wrote these things before that trip to Rome. And the other things that he mentions. We suffer. But how little do we suffer in comparison to what he went through? I mean, I have to be ashamed of myself. I've not had these physical sufferings that Paul speaks of. And yet, I'm sure that Paul would not want to compare his suffering to that of his Lord. How much more the Lord suffered. The Lord gave his life for us. I was going through some of Acts a week or two ago. I was doing some writing for the calendar. And, you know, every place that is mentioned where Paul comes to, something happens. And when you read the compilation here, you realize that there were many other places where something happened to him. And yet he went on. He went on day after day. He didn't get discouraged. And when he writes to the Philippians, he mentions those who are preaching the gospel out of envy and strife. He says there were even those who announced the Christ, some out of contention, not purely, supposing to arouse tribulation for my bonds. What a dreadful thing that some of the worst suffering came from fellow Christians. And some of that was deliberate. They wanted to have Paul suffer more. Can you think of that? And yet these are fellow Christians. And what does he say? What is his reaction? What is it then? At any rate, in every way, whether in pretext or in truth, Christ is announced. He rejoices in that. Christ is being announced even by those who are trying to make things worse for me while I'm in prison at Rome. Can we take this kind of an attitude? If there are those who are deliberately attacking us or trying to do things that will result in trouble for us, well, he says, Christ is announced, and in this I rejoice. Yea, also I will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn out for me to salvation through your supplication and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He had one purpose in life, and that was to make Christ known, to please him. And cost what may. Disappointments he would have in fellow believers, as well as the direct opposition of the enemy, he would go on. May the Lord help us to learn from this. he could indeed say that for me to live is Christ.